Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for this day and this opportunity to be here in church. Thank you for those that are present. And Lord, I pray now that you would bless and honor your word as it goes forth. I pray for liberty, for clarity of thought and speech, that I can say exactly what you want said. Lord, help me to get out your message today, to remember the things you want me to remember and forget the things I need to forget. Lord, help me to say exactly what you want said. Give us all ears to hear, hearts to receive it. And God, I pray most of all you give us the will, the grace, and the strength to be doers of your word and not hearers only. And I pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. If you were here last Sunday, hopefully you'll remember I started preaching a message titled Used by the Devil. Used by the Devil. And I said in introduction that this message answers at least two questions concerning being used by the devil. First of all, it answers the question, can a Christian be used by the devil? And as we saw last Sunday, the answer to that question is yes. In our text, the verses we just read, Simon Peter, a disciple, not a lost man, not a heathen, not a pagan, not an atheist, or any term you want to use to describe someone that doesn't know God, but a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus, is used by the devil as a vessel to come against the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 21 of the scripture, you find here that Jesus told his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer, to be killed, and to be raised the third day. Then in verse number 22, you see that Simon Peter rebuked him and said, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And in response, Jesus looked directly at Peter, his disciple, one of his main disciples, and said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Clearly, Simon Peter in this instance was being used by the devil. So can a Christian, can a follower of Christ be used by the devil? Absolutely. Absolutely. But a second question this sermon answers is, how do you know when you or someone else is being used by the devil? My intention last Sunday was to show you three ways from these verses you can know when someone is being used by the devil, irregardless of who they might be. But I was only able to get through the first of the three. And I could move on and preach something different, but I really don't think that's what the Lord wants me to do. I really believe the Lord wants me to finish the message. So today, I'm going to show you at least two more ways you can know when someone is being used by the devil, even if that someone is you. We saw, first of all, last Sunday, that when a person, when anyone denies the word of the Lord, they're being used by the devil. That is something here that Simon Peter did. Jesus Christ spoke directly to his disciples and said, This is what must happen. And in response, Peter said, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He contradicts what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to be raised the third day. And Peter says, no, that is not going to happen. He flat out denied the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anytime somebody, irregardless of who they are or how well-meaning they might be, in any way denies the word of God, I'm telling you, they're being used by the devil. It could be a preacher, it could be a Sunday school teacher, it could be a friend, a church member, it could be any number of people. And they could have the best of intentions. They could actually be speaking to you from a heart of love and compassion and be very sincere in what they say. But the thing you and I got to understand is that sincerity is never the criteria for what is right and what is wrong. There are people the world over right now that are very sincere about what they believe, but they are sincerely wrong. There are people in the Muslim religion, for example, that will use their body as a bomb to blow up people in the name of their God. I don't know how you get more sincere than being willing to blow yourself up in the name of your God, but those people are sincerely wrong. Sincerity is not the criteria for what's right and wrong. But a lot of times people speak in sincerity and we equate that with them being right. Listen, it doesn't matter how sincere an individual is. If they in any way deny what God has said, even if they do it subtly through theological terms like we mentioned, or they just flat out blatantly deny it, I'm telling you, they're being used by the devil. Anytime somebody calls to question what the Bible says, you need to recognize that as a red flag and understand that person is being used by the devil. But we need to move on. Now I want to show you two other ways you can know that somebody's being used by the devil. Secondly, let me say, when someone seeks to deter you from doing the will of the Lord, they're being used by the devil. When somebody denies the word of the Lord, or when somebody seeks to deter you from doing the will of the Lord, they're being used by the devil. Let's look once again here at our scripture, verse number 21. Jesus, or the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that, and here's a key word in the verse. Y'all see that word? How that he, what's that word? He must go unto Jerusalem. Now understand, Jesus was not going to Jerusalem because he wanted to have a vacation. He wasn't going there just to relax and kick back and enjoy himself. It was a divine appointment that he had. He understood that it was the perfect will of his Father at this time for him to make his way to Jerusalem for a specific purpose, and that purpose being to suffer, to die, and to rise again the third day so that anybody and everybody who would put their faith and their trust in him could be saved from their sins. That was the perfect will of his heavenly Father for him at this time in his life. If you have any question about that, just think of after Jesus got to Jerusalem, and after he goes in, cleans out the temple again, and has some time there, the Last Supper with his disciples, he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane. Y'all remember that? Takes his disciples out into the Garden of Gethsemane. And then he takes three of them, Peter, James, and John, and he takes them a little further than the other ones. And he tells them to watch and to pray so that they would not enter into temptation. Then the Bible says in good southern terms that he went yonder. That's a good southern term, isn't it? He went yonder. That's what the Bible says. And he prayed. And y'all remember what the Lord Jesus prayed during that time there in the garden? He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, talking about the cup of his suffering, understanding what he was about to endure in dying for the sins of the world. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Isn't that what he said? Now let me ask you this question. Did his father take the cup from him, or did he let him drink the cup? You know what that tells me? That was the will of his heavenly Father for him. When Jesus looks at his disciples right here and on other occasions and tells him, I must go to Jerusalem. Again, it wasn't just because he wanted to go there and see some people and hang out. It was a divine appointment. He understood that was the will of his heavenly Father. But notice in verse number 22, when he says this to his disciples, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." He says, "I've got to go, it's a must, and I've got to suffer, I've got to die, and I've got to be raised again." Peter says, with the best of intentions again, with the best of intentions, "Lord, that is just simply not going to happen. I'm just not going to let it happen." And I want you to notice once again, verse 23, how Jesus responded to what Peter said. Jesus looks at him and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know what Jesus realized, what he recognized in this instance? He realized and understood that Satan was using Peter to try and deter him from doing the will of his heavenly Father. He had enough sense to recognize that. He knew what was going on. He knew that even though Peter loved him, Peter cared for him, and he was very sincere, that at this instance he was a vessel that Satan was using to try to deter him from going on to Jerusalem and doing what he knew was the will of his heavenly Father. What you and I need to always understand is that anytime anybody, and I do mean anybody, because listen to me, any one of us here today can be used by the devil. Now, sometimes we get real pious and real self-righteous, a little conceited about things. "Oh, I would never." Yeah, you could too. I don't care how long you've been saved or how spiritual you think you are this morning. I'm telling you, you can be a tool in the hand of the devil. Any one of us in this building here. And anytime anybody tries to deter us from the will of the Lord, doing what we know is God's will, we've got to see that as a red flag right away and understand, hey, this person may love me, they may care for me, they may be sincere and have the best of intentions, but the fact of the matter is, right now, they're being used by the devil. Even if it's your husband, your wife, your children, a person you go to church with, some other believer somewhere. It could be anybody, but no matter who it is, if they say or do anything that tries to hinder you from proceeding and doing what you know is God's will for your life, that person is being used by the devil. And you have to recognize that. But here's something I want to caution you about. I don't want you to see this only from the perspective of big decisions in life. I don't want you to think that the devil only tries to hinder you from doing the Father's will in the big decisions, the things that just come along every once and again in your life, a handful of times. Now, does he try to hinder us in doing God's will on those things? Absolutely. But I don't want you to just see it from that perspective. I'm talking here about things like who you're going to marry, what you're going to do with your life, the direction you're going to take your life. Those are big things that normally don't come along but just a few times in your life. He'll try to interrupt and deter you there, but please understand, he doesn't just try to interrupt the will of God in your life on the big decisions. He wants to hinder you from doing God's will on the smaller, not necessarily less important, but the smaller decisions of life that we need to make on a daily or a consistent basis as Christians. And you know why he focuses on those things so often, tries to deter us from doing God's will on those smaller things that come along regular? It's because he understands a biblical principle that for whatever reason a lot of Christians seem not to understand. And that is the biblical principle that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little leaven, you hear that? Leavens the whole lump. Not a whole lot. It doesn't take a whole lot, just a little bit of leaven to permeate the entire lump. Solomon says in Song of Solomon that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. James says that our tongue is a little member, and it is in comparison to other members of our body, but he says that that little member defiles the whole body. Isn't that what he's saying? According to Proverbs, it's just a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to sleep that causes a man's vineyard to get completely overrun with thorns. Y'all ever read that text before? Doesn't take a lot, just a little. That's a principle all the way through the Bible. And the devil understands that principle. That if you do enough little things long enough, it creates big problems. So he doesn't just try to hinder us from doing the will of God on those big major decisions. Yeah, he will, but not just there. He's going to come against you on a regular basis with those smaller things, the things you need to do daily as a Christian. Things that maybe you don't do daily, but you need to do consistently, very often in your life as a Christian. Things that if you don't do those things as you should, it is absolutely going to reap havoc on your life spiritually. He understands that. Hopefully you understand that as well. So he's going to come against those smaller things, and you have to watch out for it. Anytime somebody says or does something that tries to hinder you from doing the will of God on anything, big or small, you got to recognize that as a person being used by the devil. Let me give you a few illustrations of what I'm talking about. I believe praying and reading the Bible are two of the greatest things that a child of God will do for their spiritual growth and development. And that explains, I think, why so many Christians today are not even close to where they need to be in their walk with God. Now, I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of Christians that have just never really grown up, been saved a lot of years, and they're still babies in Christ. That's where they are. And the biggest reason is because they have neglected these smaller things. Again, I'm not talking about less important, just smaller things. Praying and reading your Bible is two of the greatest things you'll ever do in your life. And the devil knows this, okay? Have you ever wondered why it is such a challenge sometimes to maintain a faithful prayer life and Bible study time? Have you ever noticed why that's such a challenge and why there'll be times when it seems like there's just one interruption after another? You'll have the best of intention to get in there and pray and read your Bible, and there it seems like it never fails. Somebody will call or something will happen. But you got to be aware of those specific instances where it's clearly the devil trying to hinder you from doing what you know you're supposed to do. Like if you get ready to pray and read your Bible and somebody comes along and says, hey, you can do that some other time. We got something else we need to do. Let me tell you who didn't say that to you. Hopefully you got enough sense to realize God didn't just say that to you. You fixing to pray and read your Bible. Do two things that will help you. Listen, every child of God needs that. Amen? Every one of us. And you getting ready, you getting in there, got your coffee and your glasses and all the stuff you got to have when you get older just to pray and read your Bible. You getting it all together, we got to go. We ain't got time for all that. We're in a hurry. We got all this stuff to do, and if you take the time to do that, we'll never get where we need to go at this time and on. You have to recognize what's going on there. It's not an accident. That's somebody, as well-meaning as they might be, being used by the devil. You have to watch out for those things. Somebody tries to discourage you from going soul-winning, something that's God's will for every Christian. I mean, it's not even up for discussion. I know some people think it is, but I'm telling you, trying to win people to Jesus Christ is the perfect will of God for every single saved person, and that's not up for discussion, and that's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. When you have somebody that constantly tries to derail your efforts to win people to Jesus Christ, to hinder you from doing that, that is somebody being used of the devil to deter you from doing what is God's will for your life. You have to recognize that. We have enough trouble dealing with our own selves. Our own worthless, stinking flesh is a big enough hindrance without us allowing somebody else to hinder us from doing what we know is right. What about going to church? I know you don't go to church every day of your life. Let me ask you this, just a simple question. Don't get nervous. Just ask you a question. Do you believe it is the will of God for you to go to church as a Christian? Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe it's his will for you to go just when you want to or when he says you ought to go? Y'all all were real verbal on the first question. Got real quiet on that second one, didn't you? You don't determine. It's either his will or it ain't, right? The Lord wants us to be in church. Now, understand, you always have to preface this. If you don't, somebody will say something that I didn't say. So I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not talking about people who can't go to church. Y'all listening to me? So don't go out of here and say I said something I didn't say. I'm not talking about people that can't go to church. I'm talking about people that are plenty able-bodied to go, but they just simply don't go like they need to. Here's the thing. Sometimes people, they just, of their own choosing, decide not to be faithful. But what I've noticed a lot through the years is that the devil will use people to try to keep you from going to church. You know why he does that? Because he knows that you need church. He knows you need it more than you know you need it. Thing I've run into so much is people, saved people just don't realize and understand the value of being a part of a good Bible-believing church. They take it for granted. They don't understand what a privilege, what an honor, what a blessing it is to be in a place where they can go to a church that believes the Word of God, a good Bible-believing church, and they begin to take that for granted. This brother and sister right here, Brother John and Sister Francine, that's been coming here the last few weeks to go to church with us, one thing that they said to me after they started coming here was how wonderful it was to finally be somewhere where they had a Bible-believing church to go to. That in other places where they had been, they couldn't hardly find one. You know why I brought that up? Not just to pick on them, but I brought that up because I say something like that, and I don't think some of you believe me. I think you think I'm just blowing off steam because I'm the pastor. I'm telling you, a good Bible-believing church is hard to find, and a good Bible-believing preacher is hard to find. It's a very rare commodity. And a lot of times, I love you, some of you take for granted what you got right here in this church. And on top of that, you will allow the devil to hinder you from being faithful here like you need to be. And I don't say that because it's because of me. I'm saying it's because you need church more than you even realize you need church. You need it so bad. The devil understands that. I'm telling you, he'll do what he can to keep you out. You get somebody comes along that says or does things that one tries to get you to leave this church and go off to some other liberal church where they don't have the Word of God and don't preach the Word of God. That person did not come into your life by the Lord, friend. Or if somebody comes along and they try to get you involved in stuff to where you can't be faithful to church like you need to be, God didn't send that individual into your life. I'm amazed at how God get blamed for stuff he doesn't do. They'll blame the Lord for sending something into their life that's keeping them out of church. You know, I don't understand all that. Be careful. I tell you one, I'm just going to get it off my chest while I'm here. Can I do that? You do what you want to do with it. But I tell you what I don't understand for the life of me. And I realize that I am possibly going to offend people. That's okay. I don't understand these people that insist on having a family reunion on Sunday. I've never understood that. And if I live to be 10 million years old, I'll never understand why people choose. Now, if they're lost, I understand it. But what I don't understand is to save family members that'll go to that instead of going to church. That's what I don't understand. Boy, it's quiet in here this morning. Well, I got to see my family. I tell you what, if you felt like you had to go to church as much as you feel like you got to see your family, you might be closer to God than you are right now. You might have a better relationship with him than you do right now. But what's wrong? What's wrong with a child of God just putting the Lord first and taking a stand and say, look, I love my family, I love y'all, but if you have that thing on Sunday, I'm not going to show up till after lunch because in the morning, I'm going to church. What's wrong with that? And some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. Some of you shaking your head and you agree with me. You understand that what I'm telling you is the truth this morning. That's the devil will do anything he can. He'll use your family, your own flesh and blood to draw you away from the house of God because he understands how desperately you need it in your life. So you have to watch out for that stuff. Somebody calls you up and says, hey, we're going to go off and do so-and-so on Sunday. Would you like to go with us? You ask them, well, is it going to keep me out of church? Instead of, oh, yeah, I'd love to go do that. I mean, people today miss church at the drop of a hat, and a lot of them drop the hat. It's just nothing to them. And then they wonder, and the thing that just bugs me to no end, I don't understand it, is these people that let the devil hinder them, and they won't go to church, and they won't be faithful until the bottom falls out in their life. And then they call Brother Keith, and they call the church, and they want the church to be there and support them and help them and all these other things. And in my mind, I don't mind doing those things. I do it. But in my mind, I'm thinking, maybe, just maybe, some of that stuff wouldn't have happened in your life had you made the Lord a priority and been faithful to Him like you ought to. I know what I'm saying is not popular. You can get upset about it if you want to, but what I'm telling you is to God's truth this morning. And if you've got any amount of spirituality to you, you know I'm telling you the truth here this morning. Like it, lump it, bump it, jump it. You know I'm telling you the truth this morning. You got to watch out for anybody that tries to hinder you from doing the will of God. Try to get you to get involved with somebody that's unsaved, to be immoral. Could just go on and on. I ain't got the time. Number three. Here's another way you know. Y'all glad I moved on. You may not be. Number three. I want to say this, when somebody directs you away from the works of the Lord, when somebody directs you away from the works of the Lord, they're being used by the devil. Look at verse number 23. But Jesus turned, he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. He says, Satan, you offend me. That's what Jesus said. And this isn't necessarily a part of the message, but one thing that I wish that us as saved people, myself included, would get so plugged into the Lord and the Word of God that we would be more offended than we are about things that are wicked and of the devil. It's like, now I don't know how many of y'all read your Baptist Bread devotional this morning before you came, but it talked about losing your blush. How there's such a deterioration in people's morals and standards and how they are that they don't even blush anymore. They're no longer ashamed about sin and ungodliness. And wouldn't you agree that we're kind of in that place right now? As Christians. There's stuff, folks, going on in this world right now, I'm telling you, in this country, that if it doesn't offend you, there's something wrong in your heart today. You're just, something's bad wrong if you're not offended with a lot of the wicked, satanic mess that's going on. And not just out in the world, there's stuff going on in our churches that ought to offend us too. Stuff that ought to really bother us is going on. But anyhow, he says, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not. Look at what Jesus says about the devil. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Thou savorest. A savor, listen now, by definition, is a pleasing, enjoyable taste or smell. That's what a savor is. Like, for example, somebody says to you, you need to savor the moment. You know what they're telling? You need to take that in and enjoy it. Let it be pleasing to you. Or they say, man, we really savored that meal. That means they enjoyed it. It had a pleasing taste to them. Jesus says about the devil, thou savorest not the things that be of God. Satan takes absolutely no pleasure, no enjoyment in the things that be of God. He takes pleasure in the things that be of man. Isn't that what Jesus said right here? Not the things that be of God. He takes no joy in that. He doesn't take joy in people living for God. He takes joy in people living for self. Living for the things of this life. He doesn't want Christians to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow the Lord, which if you keep reading in this context, you see that is the context. That's what Jesus talks to his disciples about them denying themselves and them losing their lives for his sake. The devil doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to live for yourself. Get all wrapped up in the things of men. Stuff goes on down here. That's what he wants. Here's how you know, and I'm fixing to be done because I'm out of time again. How do you know when somebody's being used of the devil? Well, whenever somebody tries to change your taste buds, y'all listen to me? When they try to change your taste buds or your appetite, they're being used of the devil. Why'd I say it like that? Remember what a savor is. A savor is a pleasing, enjoyable taste or smell, something that you enjoy. When somebody starts trying to change your taste buds to get you to where you enjoy the things of men more than the things of God, you need to immediately recognize that that individual is being used by the devil in your life. And listen, there's a lot of things of men that are not necessarily wrong, right? Y'all still with me? Y'all done checked out already. There's things in this world that wouldn't necessarily be deemed of God in the spiritual sense. They're more of men, but they're not necessarily wrong. Things that we enjoy doing, right? I mean, let's all be real about it. Some of us men in here, we enjoy going hunting, don't we? We enjoy going fishing, don't we? Some of us that are absolutely out of our mind enjoy going golfing every now and then. Right? Well, is there anything wrong with going fishing or hunting or golfing? No. There's nothing wrong with that. And you ladies, some of you have certain things that are of men, you could say, that you enjoy doing, and they're not wrong. What's the problem then? The problem is when you enjoy those things more than you enjoy the things of God. That's the problem. And Paul says that's going to be a problem in the last days, doesn't he? He says in the last days, perilous times are going to come. And he says during the last days, men, listen to it now, are going to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. He doesn't say they're not going to love God. He just says they're going to love pleasure more than they love God. And that's where a lot of Christians are at. They have allowed people to direct them away from the things of God, and they are now so engrossed in the things that be of men that they get more enjoyment out of those things than they do spiritual things. They can go to a ball game and hoot and holler and just, you know, paint their whole body and shout and scream and get all excited. If you can get them to come to church, there's just no excitement whatsoever. They don't, honest to God, they don't enjoy being in a worship service as much as they do that other environment. That's to God's truth. You know what it is? Their appetite's more for that worldly stuff than it is for the things of God. And you can talk about, you know, something of men, and it be something we get all excited about. And you can walk up in a group of men or women and say, man, I led somebody to Jesus Christ this week. Well, we're glad to hear that, brother. Oh, are you? It's like it's no big deal. But your football team won the national championship, and you want the whole world to know about it. But if you tell somebody you won somebody to Jesus, it's like, well, okay. What's wrong? Do y'all see a problem with that? There's a problem when we enjoy the things of men more than we enjoy the things of God. And a lot of us have let folks direct us that way. There's nothing wrong with some of this stuff. But there is definitely something wrong with you finding more pleasure and enjoyment in the things of men than the things of God. So anytime somebody tries to direct you away from the works of God, get you more focused on the things of men than the things of God, you got to understand what's going on in that situation. That's not the Lord. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to get more involved in him and the things of him and less involved in the things of men. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for letting us be here this morning. It is truly a privilege and an honor that we're able to be in church. And Lord, I thank you for those that have come And I pray, Lord, that you'd help each one of us now to examine our hearts, our lives, to be real, to be honest. If there's areas where we know that we have allowed the devil to use somebody to get us in a direction that we don't need to go, that this would begin the process of our repentance, our turning from that, and turning back to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.
Page number 475.